And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by the all-new Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
It's only a matter of days before the return of the legendary Pacific Coast Dream Machines, which will take place on Sunday, April 27th at the Half Moon Bay Airport, renamed Eddie Andrini Airfield, after the former popular aerial acrobatics flyer who performed at past Dream Machines. So we thought it a good time to replay a feature story we did back in 2015 on the life of Eddie, and gives insight as to his love and passion for those flying machines.
Those magnificent men in their flying machines, they go up to the above, they go down to the above.
Some listeners will remember the 1965 British comedy Those Magnificent Men in Their Flying Machines, a film that depicted the start of aviation when the public was totally fascinated by airplanes. They were then called flying machines and enamored with the men who flew them. Although most of the public take flying in a commercial aircraft for granted as we gaze down upon the earth from 30,000 feet up, we are still fascinated by the planes we see flying the skies over Half Moon Bay and intrigued by the people who fly them. If you have lived on the coastside for long, you have probably seen what looks like a red-colored Russian World War II fighter plane in the sky above. If you have wondered about the plane and its pilot, wonder no more. His name is Eddie Andrini. He grew up on the coastside, started a business, and from the get-go had a love affair with those flying machines. But we get ahead of ourselves. Mr. Andrini relates the story in his own words.
I grew up right here in Half Moon Bay. Went to school here and everything, all in Half Moon Bay. And then we went in business. I worked for a construction company in the late 50s. And then for a few years, and then we finally started our own business. And we started about 1959. It was just a lot of hard work. We were very persistent about, you know, doing a good job. When you grow up in a town like Half Moon Bay, like we did, you have to do things, you have to do them all right and think about the people because it's your town.
Well, the business is what keeps bread on the table, as
Absolutely.
They say. Tell me about when airplanes became a passion for you. How did you ever get involved with flying airplanes?
Well, I think that's quite a unique question because actually, when I was in high school, I wanted to fly. And my folks were from the old country, so they didn't think so much of it. They just thought about hard work and trying to make just something out of hard work. Great thing about my father that when we worked, he made us work on the weekends and night after school where other kids were playing. Sometimes it was kind of hard. But one thing he did do, he did pay us. You know, we worked and he paid us. Gave us money for what we were doing. And I think that was just a great education. When I was a junior in high school, before I had a driver's license, I bought a 1949 Ford from Grinnell & Cook. I had money to buy it. I walk in with my dad because he knew Grinnell & Cook. So I says, Dad, he's got a 49 Ford. Let's go. He'll go look. And he goes, look. And he goes, oh, it's nice, Eddie. He says, you know, it's easy to buy, but it's hard to keep. You know, he said. So to make a long story short, I proceeded with the car. And before I had a driver's license, I painted it, you know, had it painted right there at the shop with that lacquer, like 14 coats of lacquer. It was gorgeous. And then didn't have a driver's license yet. I was too young. But I took the car home in my folks' garage, and I poured it and relieved it. And I don't know if you know what I mean, but that was a process he used to do to get more horsepower to cars. And I changed the heads on it and the manifold on it. And I had a nice car when I got my driver's license. And I was a very good tractor driver. There was some people here. There was this Eric nursery up here, and his name was Zappatini. And he had bought a brand new TD9. He was good friends with my father, and he knew that I drove the tractor and the ranch and everything. So he bought this TD9 bulldozer, brand new, from Grinnell & Cook across the street. bought a ranch up here in town, up Frenchman's Creek, and wanted to make some roads, which today you could never do. Proceeded in buying this tractor, and he received it, and I remember coming down here, boy, with Granolis and looking at this thing. What a neat tractor. And at that time, it was, you know, it was like a D4, probably, and with a TD9 International, and I thought it was the biggest and best tractor I'd ever seen. On the summer vacation, I would work every day for him. And on weekends, when during school, he would come and pick me up on Saturday morning, and I'd have my lunch, and I'd go to work, drive this big bulldozer all day long, and I made roads for him that are still there today. And I was good at it. I was like 14, 15 years old. Today, you wouldn't even think about sending a kid out there to drive a tractor on a hill making roads. But you know, that's the way it was. And so I made money, and then believe it or not, in high school, I bought myself an airplane, too. I bought an L-2 Tatercraft, which was looks like a Piper Cub.
How old were you when you bought the airplane?
Oh, I was maybe 17.
Do you remember in your mind what you were thinking when all of a sudden you thought, I'll buy an airplane?
Well, I thought, I thought about it a lot, you know. And then, so this one, I didn't ask my dad because he didn't like airplanes. You know, so I proceeded in buying the airplane, and actually there was another younger guy that I had bought it with. So then I got to the point, because I had really taken a couple lessons out of at the flight school. It was interesting about that you know, you had to have a parent's consent under 18 and a half. I got my student's permit that needed to be signed. And so I went to my dad, I said, could you sign this this form for me? He says, yeah, what's it for? He says, is it for school? And I said, yeah. So I kind of let it down. So he kind of didn't read it. He kind of looked at it and signed it. And he found out later, he was mad, you know. But my dad was really a nice person. Then I bought that airplane a few months later.
Now, do you remember the very first time that you ever got in the cockpit of that plane and actually took off, and how did you feel? What went through your mind?
Absolutely. I had soloed already. I had soloed at that point. I still remember, absolutely. Sitting right here now, it was frightening. That's what it was, you know? Oh, yeah, I still remember, like, very vividly remember that. It's quite a satisfaction.
Well, most people know you, or at least see you, even if they don't know it's you, in the skies over Half Moon Bay in that red Russian 1944 Yak plane. When did that come into your life?
Well, that came on a lot later. I've had maybe 10 airplanes or more with partnerships with them, but I've had many airplanes, you know, because I, like I said, way back in school, I had that airplane only maybe for about a year or so, then sold it, and then bought another one, and I ran some airplanes. And in the meantime, I got more experience. Things evolved from one another, but my fourth or fifth airplane that I bought was an ex-military trainer. It was called a BT-13, World War II trainer. After I started flying in about 1962, I did my first air show. The first one I got asked to go to, it was up in Pope Valley. And I was so excited about that, you know. And from there, you know, I just started doing shows. Then through the 70s, I started doing a lot of shows. Mid-90s, I had a friend of mine that was importing these Yak aerobatic airplanes. So then we start talking about the fact is that these Yaks are really nice airplanes. And this one particular late model one was called a Yak 9. They started with Yak 1 series. And in fact, the Russian women were really known. They were even aces. You don't hear much about it. It's really interesting. That's another completely interesting thing. But anyhow, so we start talking about, and he was importing these other aerobatic ones like I had. So he's over there, and he finds out that they're still capable of building the World War II fighters. They had all the jigs and the forms and stuff to make a fighter. They don't throw stuff away. Everything was there. So to where he went over and made a deal, called me one night at 1 o'clock in the morning, and says, Eddie, we're set up to do it. He says, do you want the first fighter? And I says, absolutely.
Now, of all the planes that you've owned and flown, do you have a special love for the Yak 9? How does that rate with the other planes?
It's a tough question, because if you like airplanes and you understand them, and they're all different, they all have a personality, and they're all different. So, and I get that asked a lot, is which one do you like? My favorite probably has been the Sturman, the bike plane because it was a World War II-based primary trainer, very durable, very strong. I am the only guy in the United States right now in a plane that size that does an inverted ribbon cut. So, but they're very good airplanes. Which one do I like? I like them all.
There was a recent article in the Half Moon Bay Review talking about another plane that you've added to your stable. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's a P-51, and I wasn't really intending to get one and restore it, but it just happened that way. We restored it back to the original configuration of the airplane, and it's a very historical type airplane. I've been flying it now for the last month or so.
Are they fast planes?
They're very fast. They're like the Yak, probably even faster if you start pouring a lot of power. The plane has a history that it went in 1945, was built, was one of the last ones, and it went to England, it went to Europe. The war was coming to an end, so this airplane, it never got assigned to a squadron. A few months later, it was back in the States with Air Guard unit in the back east.
Do you have children?
Yeah, I have two boys.
Have they expressed or shown an interest in aviation at all?
Yeah, my one boy, he flies, and he has one of the Yaks, and he flies everything, and but he doesn't do what I do, you know, because this is a very personal thing. But he does fly. He flies everything. He's very good, and the other boy likes motorcycles.
Well, we appreciate you coming in and visiting with us and getting to know you a little bit more, and we'll keep our eyes up in the sky looking for that Yak 9.
Yeah, absolutely, and the new 51, which is a very iconic airplane, and I recommend if anybody wants to come out and look at it, we would love to have them come out at the hangar. So this all they have to do is give me a call, and there's nothing more that I would enjoy is taking people out and show.
Speaking of calls, do you want to give a number they can reach you at?
They can call me on my cell, 650-280-3845. Okay, and we always, you know, try to get even kids, you know, third grade or so, and we get them out, a group of them out there to show them the airplane, and they enjoy it very much. And it's something that surprisingly, and probably the most enjoyment I get is people from young to the old. That the older ones have probably been in the military or something, and they can relate to it. Or people that just know aviation but just have never had the opportunity. Or little kids, you know. I don't know how many I've taken young people up for a ride, and next thing you know, a few years later, here comes this guy flying an F-18, walked through. Hey, Eddie, remember when you gave me a ride? You know, so I think that's a satisfaction. My satisfaction to this is that I feel that my contribution is to be able to do something like this, that I've done something and inspired somebody.
The story of Eddie Andrini and his love affair with flying machines. Eddie Andrini, truly one of those magnificent men in their flying machines. We lost Eddie in 2014 when he crashed and died while performing at an air show at Travis Air Force Base in Fairfield. Just days prior to that tragic event, we had a second and what would be his last interview that aired on May 1st, 2014. By going to khmbradio.com and clicking on Show Podcast and then again on Archive 2014 Podcast, you will find that interview.
The Eddie Andrini story from the Vault of Great Feature Stories here at KHMB. We will be thinking of Eddie when we see those magnificent flying machines on display at the Pacific Coast Dream Machine Sunday, April 27th, 10 to 4. For the feature story of the week, I'm Jim Henderson.